John chapter 12 and read a verse there, and then we'll go to Romans and 1 Timothy, and then we'll read two in the Old Testament. And so if we get too fast and too far ahead, you can just write the references down. And anyway, the title of our sermon this evening is called The Seriousness of the Cause. And I guess there's some things that I'm very serious about, and then there's a lot of things that I'm not serious about. I'm a jokester, things like that. But of course, when it comes to the Bible, I'm very serious about it. Godliness, I'm very serious about it. We talked about last Sunday morning about the responsibility of the pastor, and I want to take that serious. And so, again, I try to be loyal to my teams, like, you know, football teams, basketball teams, and so forth. But, you know, again, in the light of eternity, that's not what it's all about, and so forth. But anyway, the cause, according to the Bible, we ought to take it very seriously. We ought not be lighthearted about it or half-hearted about it or take it or leave it. We ought to be pretty serious. And maybe even to the point of dogmatic a little bit sometimes. And but definitely we ought to take it seriously. So in John chapter 12, verse 27, we read that Jesus, in John chapter 12, verse 27, it says here, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour." And so Jesus took his cause serious. Of course, if you read in the context here, he was sweating great sweat drops of blood, and it might have come across his mind that he might die here in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew that it was not finished yet. He hadn't made it to where he was going, and so he was praying and talking to the Lord and saying that, you know, don't let me pass away here because of the cause I came unto this hour. Let's look at Romans 15, verse 9, and Paul, again, we'll see he's talking to the Romans here, and of course, we'll see in 1 Timothy where he's talking to Timothy. Paul took his cause seriously. So Jesus took his cause seriously. Paul took his cause seriously. In verse 9 of chapter 15, it says here, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And so, of course, Paul took his cause seriously. And we know that he was pretty adamant about the things that he was doing before he got saved. He was a persecutor of Christians, a persecutor of the church, and so forth. And he took that very seriously, but he got saved. And again, he did a 180. Maybe his personality did not change and his determination did not change. We saw a little bit of that in the sermon Wednesday. But he took his cause seriously. And then when he was talking to Timothy over in chapter 1, 1 Timothy, verse 16, he was telling him about the cause. And of course, he was his father in the faith. He was trying to be a good testimony to him, talk to him, encourage him, leave with him, and so forth. And so in verse 16 of chapter 1, he says, "Howbeit, for this cause I have obtained mercy." And of course, he was explaining his testimony. I was not saved. I was not doing what God created me for. I was persecuting the church, but I got saved, and for this cause I obtained mercy. In me, at first, Jesus Christ might show forth a long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And so, of course, Paul was serious about his cause and trying to encourage Timothy to take his cause seriously. Why? Because life everlasting is at stake. And again, so if we look at our cause in the Christian life and in our world, if we like haphazardly or lightheartedly say, "Well, I can witness, I can take that or leave it, or I can just go through life," things like this, we see life everlasting is going to be affected. And so he was telling Timothy, how you handle your cause is going to affect people hereafter. So again, if we're for such a time as this, just like we saw Mordecai and so forth, if Mordecai hadn't have done what he did, that time wouldn't have been effective for such a time as this. So again, our time here on the earth, if we don't take our call seriously, it's not going to affect, and things will be left out. Now, the most familiar and I guess most famous verse that talks about the cause is in 1 Samuel 17:29. 1 Samuel 17:29, and of course this is David in the Old Testament, and verse 29 of chapter 17. It says, "And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And of course we know the story. He was keeping his father's sheep. And he was sent to take his brother some lunch. He gets there to deliver the lunch and hears Goliath down in the valley cursing God, making fun of them, challenging them, things like that. And David's looking around like, you know, where do I get in line to go help? And there wasn't a line. Nobody had determined that they were going to go down there and try to shut Goliath up. And so, of course, David, again, a lot of people might have thought he was being cocky. And being, you know, well, I'll show, you know, but no, there's a cause, and God had already proved himself to David. So again, when we come across maybe confident in the Lord, it might appear cocky to some people. But if the Lord has shown himself mighty like he did to David, of course, David, he practiced with his slingshot, but there was no practicing killing a lion, and there was no practicing killing a bear. But he was able to do that with his bare hands with the help of the Lord. So the Lord had proved himself to David. And so David was adamant about this. I'm going to go down there and take care of him, not in my own strength, not in my slingshot ability, but with God's help, we can do it. He's already proven himself to me. And then another one we'll look at real quickly is in Exodus 9. Exodus 9, and this is Moses, another familiar Bible character. But Moses was not like David at this point. Moses was like a lot of Christians today. He was the excuse giver. David, you know, came across, bless God, I'm going to go down there and shut that guy up. Again, he wasn't saying it in my own ability. He wasn't saying that, you know, you just watch me, I'll deliver y'all. No, God had already proven himself. So Moses, in chapter 9, verse 16, we see that the Bible says, "And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up." So God is telling Moses, you know, for this cause, for this time to lead these people, I've raised you up. And it says here, "For to show thee in my power, and in that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." And so, of course, God and Moses is talking, a little bit different scenario here than David and God. Moses and God are talking, and God is saying, this is what I want you to do. And he gave excuses like, well, I'm slow of speech. I'm not very confident. I don't know how to do that, and so forth. And so God obviously said, what's that in thy hand? He said, a rod. And he threw it down. It turned into a serpent, a snake. And then he's told to pick it back up. So God then proved himself to Moses about the cause. So we see Jesus took his cause seriously. Paul took his cause seriously, David took his cause seriously, and Moses took his cause seriously with a little bit of encouragement. So again, just like these men were created for a purpose and for such a time as this throughout history, we were created for a purpose. And God put us on this earth during this time. And so we might be, you know, like Paul, and we've been living a different life. And need to turn and do the 180 and serve God. We might be like David, and we're confident because God's proven himself to us. But we might be like Moses and throw out excuse after excuse after excuse. So what we're going to look at tonight is four types of people, or four ways we can respond to the cause. Four types of people, or four ways that we can respond to the cause. We've in this room, there are several different people in here, and we could say, what is your opinion on, and we could just fill in the blank. And most likely we would get, I don't know if we'd get 40 different responses. We'd have some similarities maybe, but there would be different responses and how we would react to it. Some of us, when we see, when we get scared, you know, some of us squeal and when we get scared. If you ever scare me, I'm not going to squeal, but you better duck. My response to being scared is swing, okay? I'm sorry. So if you ever jump out from behind a door and go boo, duck. All right, because you know I'm not supposed to be a striker, and I don't want to hit you. But anyway, we all going to respond differently to different things. So again, when we look at the cause, the collective cause, the cause of Jesus Christ, the cause of soul winning, the cause of reaching the world, preaching the gospel to every creature, when we look at that cause, we might have different responses. So we're going to look at some different responses tonight. I'll give you a few illustrations to show to prove those things to you, give you 3 points, and we'll be finished. So four types of people or four ways to respond. One way it would be this. And again, you just have to be cold, hard-hearted, and nothing would affect you if you would just say there is not a cause. You live, you die, that's it. And I've heard people say that. You might say to them, you know, it's our responsibility to share the gospel with every creature. Nah, that's not true. That's just religion. That's just this. That's just that. You live, you die. There's not a cause. That would be one response. Then there's people that would give you the benefit of the doubt. Okay, there's a cause, but not for me. That's fine for you. And you might have relatives that say this or friends. That's fine for you to go to church. That's fine for you to read your Bible. That's fine for you to raise your family and try to raise them in a Christian home, but not for me. So again, we see the first one, no cause. Yes, there's a cause, but not for me. And then there's the next person. They might even give you a little bit more. They would say, okay, yes, there is a cause. And yes, it's for me, but not right now. I'm too busy living it up. I'm too busy living my life, doing my own thing. When I grow up or when I get, you know, retired or something like that, then I might start serving God. So three different responses so far. No cause, not for me, that's fine for you. Yeah, and I can even see how that it was probably for me, but I'll do it later. Procrastination. I'll put it off. And then the fourth type of person might be say, yes, there is a cause. Yes, I see my involvement in it, and so I'm going to do something about it right now. That's a different response. Four different responses. And so four illustrations I'm going to give you here where I had to decide which response I was going to have. That there's no cause. Just be like, you know, put a deaf ear, close my eyes. There's nothing going on here. Or I could say, yes, there is a cause, but somebody else needs to do it. Yeah, there is a cause and I might get around to it later, or I had to react right then. So the first one I'll give you is we were having a special day at our church. This was years and years ago, and we were having watermelon. And again, you can't go wrong with watermelon. And so we were having watermelon. And of course, just like any time you have teenagers together, there's competitions like seed spitting. All right, you know, that has to come up when you're eating watermelon. See who can spit it the furthest, who can spit the most, things like that. But we were having a watermelon eating contest. And we all cut the sizes to about the same size so nobody could cheat, things like that. And it was whoever could eat the piece of watermelon the fastest got something. I can't even remember what it was. So, of course, all the teenagers were sitting there. They had their piece. They're ready to go. And so we said go. And it was just like, come on. I mean, they just went in head first, started chewing like crazy. And this one kid named Jason, I mean, he didn't come up for a breath. He was just, I mean, his head was going up and down, and he was just, chum, chum, chum. And I didn't even think he was chewing. And apparently he was not. So he got his whole piece done, looked up, but he had these big old eyes. And he started turning like blue. And he's pointing at me, you know. And so I'm looking at him like, you know, cough, do something. And he's like. And so he starts turning a blue shade, looking at me with his big old buggy eyes. And I said, ah, you're kidding. You're trying to fake me out. There's no cause here. And he would have probably choked to death. And I could have said, well, you know, I see he's turning blue. And, you know, he might need some help, but I can't do anything. Or I could have said, yeah, Jason's turning blue and, you know, I should do something about it, but I'm going to run and get a sandwich and I'll be back and I'll take care of it later. He would have died. What I did, you know, again, no medical training here at all, but the little dude, 14 years old, was turning blue right in front of my eyes. I spun him around. I put the hands on the what is this thing called? There you go. And whoo! Pull, give it a good old squeeze, and out comes the watermelon, about this long and about that big around. It was basically molded to his throat. And he would have won the contest if we were spitting watermelon, because, I mean, it went flying across there, and he's like, oh, thank you. All right, so again, I had a chance to respond four different ways. Ah, quit faking me out. He would have died. I'll get back around to it, he would have died. Somebody else needs to do it, he probably would have died. But praise the Lord, and out it came, and his breath came back. The next one I'll tell you about was when I was in Bible college. And again, I went to Bible college in Florida. And if you know anything about Florida, it's kind of surrounded by water, you know, on three sides. And so water everywhere. The side that we lived on, I don't recommend it. The Gulf side, water's pretty okay, bluish, and you walk actually on sand. Our side, water is mucky, and you walk on crushed seashells. It's just not a great thing to do to go to the beach there. Plus, a lot of people don't wear clothes when they go to the beach. But anyway, we were at the beach, me and four other teenage guys in Bible college, and we were trying to what they call body surf or whatever. We're getting up on the waves and riding them down, and it was pretty tough undertow that day. And so there was this other guy. There's four of us. Two of them, one of them couldn't even swim at all. One was very, mediocre swimmer. And me and the other guy, we were decent. And so we were out there body surfing and so forth. And so I'm getting tired. So I told Eric, I said, I'm going back in. And Eric says, I'm going to ride it one more time. And so he swims way out there. And lo and behold, he's up there. He's riding it. And I mean, it pile drives him into the ground and he disappears. And I mean, I'm looking. And he's nowhere to be seen. And all of a sudden, he pops up hundreds of yards out there screaming, help. And so I'm already tired. The guy outweighs me by twice, probably. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? So I could have said, there's no cause, right? He's screaming for help hundreds of yards out in the ocean. Nah, there's no big deal here. No, there was something. And I could have said, well, and I thought this one. There is a cause, but I can't do anything about it. But I'm looking around, and there's not anybody out there. So the third one, I could have said, well, there's a cause, but I'll get back to you. You just hang on. No, he was going up and down, up and down. So I had to do something. So I look, and I see this guy about 40 yards up there on the pavement, and he has a surfboard. And I don't know if you know of surfboard people, but I said, hey, let me borrow your surfboard. No way, dude. That was probably his exact response to me. No way. All right. I was like, there's a guy out there drowning. I got to have your surfboard. He gave it to me. So we went out there. I drug him up on there. And when we turned around, my truck was on the bank, and my truck looked like an ant. That's how far we were out. And I was like, all we got to do is swim. And so we just start kicking our feet. Praise the Lord for that surfboard. We got back in. So there was a cause. And I responded, like, I got to go help you. Now, his parents had me over, cooked me chicken dinner. Thank you for saving our son. It was nice. But I had to do something about it. It was pretty serious. Another one that I'll give you is we were out of Bible college. My wife and I were in charge by then. We were the leaders of the tour group, and we traveled around the United States singing with our traveling tour group, things like that. And we had stopped at this church, and it was actually my dad's church, and so he borrowed a big pontoon boat and three jet skis, and college guys and jet skis, great day. They were having to sit themselves a time. So they're jet skiing out there. We're using the pontoon boat as a floating dock and so forth. And there was this one young man, he was trying to kneeboard, and he could not do it. I mean, we'd pull him, he'd fall. We'd pull him, he'd fall. And so I'm on the back of the jet ski, another guy's driving, and I'm trying to tell Richard what to do. And he keeps crashing, he keeps crashing. So we're out in the middle of the lake, and we hear this lady screaming. And I see the boat a couple hundred yards away, and she's up screaming, things like that. So the pontoon boat was coming up. I told Richard to get on the pontoon boat. We took off on the jet ski. So we get there, I see this guy in the water. His wife's up in the boat. And so I just dove off the back of the jet ski, swimming over there. And I could hear him telling her, I love you, I'm sorry. And I was like, whoa, let's not talk like that. And so he's very mangled. What had happened, they were running pretty much wide open. The cooler lid flew off the cooler. He let go of the steering wheel to grab it, and the boat banked up, threw him out, and hit him several times with a propeller on the back of his arm. So I was like, can you help me at all get you out of this water? And I think so. So I went down under the water, got him on my shoulder, and his wife, we got him up in the boat. We took off. They called Life Flight, and he did lose his arm, but he did not lose his life. But I could have said, hey, man, there's no issue here. You know, no big deal that the propeller just whacked your arm. That's not really a cause for alarm. No, I had to do something about it. I'll give you one more, and this one's a little bit closer to home. Because I've told you that I did have a brother that was ran over in our driveway and passed away. I was told one time by my parents to clean out the garage. And that's a dreadful job. I don't know if you've ever had that privilege. But I was cleaning out the garage. So I backed my truck down to the garage, and I'm throwing stuff in the back of it to take to the burn pile. And, I mean, of course, it was piled up over top. And so we were going to go to the burn pile. And so my friend Daryl was helping me. You know, I conned him into helping me, and then we can play basketball after. But if you'll help me, we'll go faster. You know, so anyway, I don't know if you've done that to your friends, but he was a great friend. And so he's like, "Can I drive your truck?" And I was like, "Do you know how to drive a stick shift?" He said, "No." I was like, "Well, let me do it. Oh, I want to drive." So he gets in there, and I'm telling him, "Okay, you ease out on the clutch, you ease down on the gas, and it'll take off," things like that. And so he, and it goes dead. And so I'm telling him, "Give it a little bit more gas," and, you know, so then he's peeling out like crazy, and then gets scared, lets off, it goes dead. So he's doing this going up the driveway. And so about the third time, we're up on the hill pretty far, and he, you know, he pushes in the clutch when it went dead that time. And of course, when it goes dead, your brakes don't work very well. So we start going backwards really fast. And I'm like, "Daryl, let off the clutch." And he's, "Oh!" And we're flying backwards. I'm laying on the pile in the back of the truck trying to keep it from falling out. And my sister, which is about 4 years old, walks out of the garage, and here we're going right at her. And I'm like, "Jenna, go back in the garage." And like most sisters, she goes, "Huh?" And didn't move. All right, I'm screaming, "Jenna, go back in the garage." And we're going barreling at her, and I'm screaming, "Daryl, let off the clutch. Jenna, go back in the garage." All this is happening like crazy. So I could have said, "No big deal. There's not a cause here. There's something going on here, but maybe somebody else will come in and do something about this. Or there's a cause that my sister might get ran over here, or if I don't do something, but I'll get around to it." No, I laid down on the tailgate and put my arms out and prayed to God that I could catch her. And I caught her underneath the arms, and she was dragging under the truck as we rolled to a stop. I'm like, now, I didn't tell you those four stories to make you think that I'm Superman, all right? But I told you those were things that popped into my mind and causes that I was faced with that I had to make a decision quickly, or somebody would have died. So when we look at the cause of Christ, Paul, David, Moses, those were serious causes. Something that we don't take half-heartedly or haphazardly or, no big deal. No, they were serious. Or somebody's going to pass away. Moses and the children of Israel, there would have been a lot of them that died if they hadn't have listened to Moses and Moses had taken the cause serious. David and Goliath and all those, people would have died if David hadn't taken it seriously. Paul, Jesus, obviously, everybody would have died if he hadn't taken his cause seriously. So we have to take the cause seriously. So we're going to look at three things tonight. Why every believer, that includes all of us, must take the cause serious. We can't explain it away. We can't make it, you know, "I'm going to close my eyes." A lot of people, especially little kids, that way, if they get scared, they just cover their eyes. And they think, "If I can't see it, it's not really there." You know, again, if that's not a good plan. If a big dog is coming after you, going to bite you, he's not there. He might just bite you anyway. So we've got to take our cause serious. So number one, every believer must take their cause seriously because God commands us to. Because God commands us to. Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." I'm sorry. "And he said unto you, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He says so. We've got to take it serious. Matthew 28:19-20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always." So just like God was with Jesus in his cause, God was with Paul in his cause, he would have been with Timothy in his cause, he was with Moses, he was with David, he will be with us. He's not telling us to do something and just leaving us out there. He's like, I've got you. I will be with you. And he wants to do that. So we're supposed to go ye. And whosoever. What I like to look at on that is, you know, the go ye and the whosoever that got us into heaven is pretty important. But when we hear the go ye and teach whosoever, we're like, nah, there's not a cause. You know, as long as it gets us into heaven, you know, I always call those type of people freeloaders. They didn't do their part. You know, you see something, you know, there's four guys and three of them's like got their veins popping out of their neck. They're all red. And they're like, and then one over there's, you know, he's carrying it, but he's not doing his part. He's making it harder on those other three guys. So we ought to do our part. Now, we see that go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It means you, me, everybody. And then it says, ye are the light of the world in the Bible. You are the light of the world. And if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And in 2 Corinthians 4:3. So if we hide our gospel, it's hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this, we are put into the ministry of reconciliation. So God commands us to go ye. God commands us to let our light so shine. And God commands us or puts us in the ministry of reconciliation. Again, I'm sure over the years, maybe a few people in here has been cross with each other. All right, and hopefully, the Holy Spirit has helped this one act in the right way and act this in the right way. Maybe you've asked each other to forgive you or whatever, and it's taken care of. So same thing here. God puts us in the ministry of reconciliation. And sometimes you have to have a what they call a mediator to say, okay, this person and this person, if you raise kids, you tell your brother you're sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you got to mean it. All right, that's the ministry of reconciliation. You actually have to mean that you're sorry. Give each other a hug. All right, and so, but anyway, that's what Jesus does, and that's what we're supposed to do to the lost person, and obviously the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to help them be reconciled. So, why should we take the cause seriously? Because God says so. Number two, because there is a hell. In Luke 16:23, it says, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment." So, of course, the rich man and Lazarus. Of course, we see here that they both died. Or the rich man died, and he lifted up his eyes. And so he was in hell. Now, he was calling out and said, hey, I'm in hell now, but my brothers are still alive over there at my house. Please send somebody over there to talk to them. And so he, too late now, but he was taking the call serious now. He was wanting somebody to do something about it. So he was taking the call seriously. Revelation 20 verse 15 tells us, whosoever is not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So again, we ought to take the call serious because there is a hell. And if we don't take it seriously, people are going to die and go there. Last one. We ought to take our call seriously because there is a judgment. Because there is a judgment. So God says so. There is a hell, and because there is a judgment. Now, there's two types of judgments mentioned in the Bible. The first one being the great white throne judgment. And the Bible teaches that the person that stands at the great white throne judgment is the one that has not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. And that is the judgment. Now, I don't know how that's going to be. Never been there. Read a little bit about it. I've heard preachers illustrate that it might be that, you know, eye contact might be made. Talking about that great gulf fix, and there's some standing over here and some standing over here. And maybe those people that are cast into the lake of fire, we might be able to see them, they might be able to see us, and they might be asking us, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you take your cause serious? Why didn't you do everything possible humanly and even spiritually to tell me about the gospel? And the Bible talks about in Ezekiel how that blood will be required at their hands. So I don't know if that will be seen. You know, you might be trying to hide your hands if blood is there. But that's why we ought to take it seriously. Anytime God gives us an opportunity to witness to somebody, we ought to take it. Take that cause seriously. I only remember one person that I guess I disobeyed the Lord. Anytime that He's ever told me to give a person a tract, I've done it. Anytime I've even been going down the road in my vehicle and the Lord say, you know, stop and witness to that person. I've made U-turns and went back and witnessed that person and led many of them to the Lord. But the only one that I know of that I know the Holy Spirit told me to witness to, I didn't. And I see that person in my mind often. And I pray, Lord, I blew it. I didn't take the cause seriously that day. So please, pick up the slack for me. Have some obedient soul winner witness to that person. I don't know if he was saved or not. I didn't ask him. I was in Colorado, in the Rocky Mountains, elk hunting. I had shot an elk, and I'm tracking it in the snow. And so I'm looking, and all of a sudden, there's a guy. I'm like, he goes, I'm lost. Duh. I mean, even figuratively and literally speaking, I'm lost. That would have been a great segue. Well, I can tell you how to be saved. And felt the Holy Spirit plain as day. Tell me to. I said, you mean you're lost? He said, yeah, I'm up here with four or five guys. I can't find them. I've been lost since this morning. Do you know where you are? I was like, well, you see this blood trail? If you'll follow it back down to the creek, turn left, and that'll take you back down to where all the trucks are parked. Thank you. He took off. But I knew I was supposed to witness to him. And I didn't. I didn't take the cause serious. And I'm praying that God will let somebody else do it. But we have to take why? Because there's a great white throne judgment. So I've used that disobedience and that failure in my life to ask God to help me never, ever to do that again. So if I feel just an inkling, give that person a track. Witness to that person. Hey, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven if you were to die? I don't want any more like that. I didn't take the call seriously that day. Those other four things I told you about, I took them serious. And with you know, determination and help, they're all four still living. So, but that man, if he dies one day at the great white throne judgment, there will be blood on my hands. I don't know if we'll make eye contact, but I pray that somebody else witnesses to him and he gets saved, because the great white throne judgment is a for real place. Then, the next one, because there's a judgment, is the judgment seat of Christ. So why should we take our cause seriously? Because of the two judgments. I don't want blood on my hands at all. But then also, at the judgment seat of Christ, if we have been obedient and we have led people to Christ, we'll be rewarded for it. And we ought to want to have something to cast at Jesus' feet. I don't want to be, empty-handed when everybody else is casting crowns at Jesus' feet that they've earned. So I want to take my cause serious. Again, not to outdo you or outdo anybody else, but to take my cause seriously, so that I can have something to give back to Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. So we ought to take our cause seriously. So in conclusion, our church collectively has a cause. It's to be a lighthouse, which our name is, in Taylorsville, Spencer County, and beyond. The Bible talks about Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts. That's our responsibility. That's our cause, to be a lighthouse. And we ought to do that collectively. But each individual in here builds up or makes up the Lighthouse Baptist Church. So we ought to all do our part. I being excited about the Savior, and I like being excited about heaven. I like to be excited about church, and we ought to do that. We ought to take our cause serious. And why? Because that judgment seat of Christ is going to be there. So from the pastor, I have a cause to being the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm going to take that serious. As deacons, obviously I know both the deacons, and they take their cause serious. The members ought to take their cause serious. Teachers, Sunday school teachers, ought to take their cause serious. Everything that we do here is serious. I was up here, I'm not sure what day it was. What day did we go to Subway? Friday. I was up here Friday. Brother Tom and Miss Elaine came in, and they're meticulous. I mean, they cleaned this building. They were in here for hours. She vacuumed every inch of this floor. He was out there scrubbing stuff. I mean, they were meticulous. They took their job as cleaning the church seriously. And it smelled good. And then they said, we always mop out there and we leave everything off the tile, let it dry, and then we go eat at Subway and we come back and put it together. So we had the blessing going eating at Subway with the, what they call themselves, the crazy phrases or something like that. But anyway, but they were meticulous. They took it serious. And I like that. And so I believe God will bless you and reward you at the judgment seat of Christ for leading a soul to Christ. But I think He'll also reward you for backing on the floor of a church. That was my first job in the ministry, was vacuuming, cleaning commodes. I took it serious. I didn't go, man, I want to be a preacher. I want to be no janitor. I can't do that. Holy Spirit convicted my heart. Who are you doing it for? This is going to be the cleanest commode in the building. All of these for the cause of Christ. I'm going to vacuum every inch. Took it serious. And I believe God rewards you for that. So I believe we can go and take our cause serious, reading our Bible every day. That's part of the cause. That strengthens us. That helps us grow in the knowledge. And taking all these things seriously. Why? Because of the judgment seat of Christ. So, take your cause seriously. Why? Because God said so. Because there is a hell, and because there is a judgment that we'll stand before. So we ought to take our cause seriously, like these men did. Jesus did. Great example. Paul did. Great example. Timothy did. Great example. David did. Great example. Moses did. Great example. How are we doing with our cause? Can you say, no, there's not a cause? Well, there is a cause, but not for me. That's good for y'all. Well, there is a cause, and I should do something about it, but when I get older, or when I mature, I'll do that. Or, there is a cause, and to the best of my ability, I'm going to do something about it right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And God, Lord, I just ask You to help us all, Lord, have the mindset and the Holy Spirit leading in obedience to the Holy Spirit of there is a cause, and I want to do something about it. And Lord, I know as the pastor of the church now, I have dreams and goals and things that I would like to see this church do. And Lord, I just ask You to help us all, Lord, to have that same seriousness about the cause. Lord, but You can be serious and still have fun. You can be serious and still be enjoy everything. And so, Lord, I just ask You to help our church, or help each individual. And Lord, I just ask You to help us all to have the mindset, there is a cause, and I'll do something about it. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek will...